Welcome back, Manazis. This is the best current year ever on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com, and I am your host, Fascist Lemming. I know I've been gone for 3 weeks, but I'm finally back, and it's good to be back. Let me tell you, it's been an amazing week. I'm recording this on Tuesday night. You're going to hear this on Wednesday, but as of this recording, it's been a week since this best damn current year got really current and really became the best when Mr. Trump and Fuhrer won the election on Tuesday night. One of the best things about his win, guys, is just that it was such a clean win. It was so clear cut. There wasn't any confusion, and especially when I heard that Hill Dog had given him a concession phone call. Oh, that was great. So, you know, it was so great because it left no room for questioning anything. Like, it's done. The time has come. Everything we've hoped for, dreamed for, worked for has come to fruition. And now we have someone in the White House who definitely won't be working against us, you know, on purpose, at least. He might make a few mistakes. I don't think he's going to be perfect. But, you know, someone like Hillary, she's a genocidal maniac, you know, hell-bent on destroying the white working class. But it's really good that he's in there. And it's fun. Have you seen the stories about Hillary Clinton crying uncontrollably and she's blaming James Comey? And you can only imagine her reaction. And I discussed this in one of my recent videos, but just the idea of her suffering, you know, her life's work, her every effort, all her backing she got from the Jewish supremacists, and all of it failed. You know, she thought she was a shoo-in. You know, like, last Tuesday, she really thought she was going to win, but she didn't. She failed again. She lost again. Oh, man, I love it. I love her suffering. She's such an evil witch. So, yeah, it's just been a really amazing week. A lot of developments. You know, first thing after he won, he met with Barack Obama, and, you know, they're being all nice with each other, which is, you know, something I would expect for sure. And I guess Paul Ryan, same thing with him. And I guess Paul Ryan has won to be nominated for Speaker of the House again, so that sucks. And then he appointed Reince Priebus as his chief of staff and Steve Bannon as his chief strategist, or as George Bush would have called him, his chief strategist. Oh, that's still funny. But it's funny how the Jewish media is reacting to Steve Bannon, and a lot of my show will be covering that because I'm going over a few articles from the Jewish Daily Forward. But it's been really fun. You know, it's funny, people on our end of the spectrum, like me, you, our fellow Nazis, we look at someone like Steve Bannon and look at him as like a Jew lover or an Israel firster, and we call it Kike Bart even. And, you know, they have a Jerusalem page, you know, just for Israeli news. So he doesn't satisfy us at all. We're like, no, that's not good enough, man. He's a Jew lover, man. He's a Zionist. But then you have our enemies that are like freaking out. Oh my God, he's literally Hitler. His website is the main site for the alt-right. Which is, that's one of those funny things too, that Steve Bannon referred to Breitbart as like, you know, the main alt-right website, which is a joke. It's a good gateway, I'll give it that, but to say it's like the platform of the alt-right, that's funny. I wouldn't agree with that statement, but now that he's been appointed as the chief strategist, I'm glad he said that. I'm glad these Jews are freaking out. It's wonderful. Now, before we get to the news, I just saw an interesting tweet from a WeSearcher, and it turns out the shutting has gone hardcore today. They've gone full retard with the shutdowns on Twitter today. So just for today, we have a few notable showas. At Pax Dickinson, at Paul Town, at John Rivers 2, at Radix Journal, and at Richard B. Spencer, and at that Ricky Vaughn. All show it today. You still have some other notables still up. The hardcores are still there. David Duke's still up there. Weave is still up there. Seventh Son is still up there. The Seventh Son was joking. Maybe Twitter only wants the hardcore people up, so they had to ban all these alt-light people, even though I guess Ricky Vaughn, some of these people aren't alt-light. But it's a good joke, all the same. So I hope my Twitter doesn't get showed. I only have like 1,200 followers, but it took like a year and a half to get that many. My friend Bloop Bowden, he just got his account showed, and he was demoralized by it. And it was almost so bad that he didn't want to get back on Twitter, which would have been horrible for me because I bounce all my ideas off this guy. It would have been a shame. So it is demoralizing to get it showed. And that's, you know, we have people locking their accounts. Like Weave, Reactionary Tweet, they're locking their accounts so they can't get banned. And I know that feeling when I got suspended on my current channel for 2 weeks. I privatized all my videos because I didn't want them just sitting there for people to flag. But, you know, the things are going to have to change. They can't pull this off forever, especially now that they're out of power. They're now in a defeated mode. They definitely did not see Trump coming in. So it's good times. You know, now that they have lost, we're going to see them go even extra crazy. So, yeah, I guess banning, you know, 5 or 6 accounts, major accounts, too. Like, all these accounts have, like, tens of thousands of followers. And, you know, they're just going to get more hysterical. And we're going to be covering some of that, too. So let's go ahead and just jump right to it. My first article comes from the Jewish Daily Forward with a headline that reads, Donald Trump gives first interview as president-elect to Sheldon Adelson's Israeli newspaper. The Israeli newspaper owned by casino billionaire Sheldon Adelson appears to have nabbed the first post-election interview with president-elect Donald Trump. That's the very, very first. No American media outlet has published an interview with Trump conducted since the election. Trump is scheduled to conduct his first domestic media interview with the CBS program 60 Minutes on Friday, which would now be last Friday. But Israel Hayom, the right-wing Israeli newspaper, got him on Thursday afternoon. Trump spoke with Israel Hayom's Boaz Bismuth after the president-elect's meeting with President Barack Obama at the White House, according to Israel Hayom's report. And this is what Trump told Israel Hayom. I look forward to strengthening the unbreakable bond between our great nations. I know very well that Israel is the one true democracy and defender of human rights in the Middle East and a beacon of hope to countless people. Oy vey, Mr. Trump. Of course, you always gotta say stuff like that, don't you? In the interview, which appears to have been brief, Trump praised Israel and said that he would not impose a peace process on the Israelis. Back to Trump. I believe that my administration can play a significant role in helping the parties to achieve a just, lasting peace, which must be negotiated between the parties themselves and not imposed on them by others. Israel and the Jewish people deserve no less. So yeah, I just want to get this one out the way. Yes, it is gay that his first post-election interview was with an Israeli newspaper. I agree that sucks. That looks horrible for sure. And he said the same old stuff. I mean, it's kind of encouraging that he emphasizes that Israel and the Palestinians are going to have to handle this stuff themselves and the U.S. won't be involved. But I don't know. I think we're just going to have to deal with the pro-Israel Trump for the next 8 years. It's just the way it's going to be. To me, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's extremely unfortunate, of course. But like a lot of people say, he couldn't have won being anti-Israel, which I also agree with. You know, you couldn't have won all those evangelical votes being anti-Israel. But I mean, I guess he just really likes Israel. I mean, what can you say? You know, there's a lot of, you know, right-wing, you know, you call them civic nationalists that look at Israel as another kind of nationalism. Even though those of us who are woke as fuck, we know that Israel is just like the headquarters for, you know, Jewish globalism. But, you know, it's sad, it sucks, but hey, if he's going to be friends with Israel, as long as I get the wall and we get millions of people deported out of here, we get our jobs back from China and we don't go to war with Russia, I mean, fine, okay? I mean, you can't always get everything that you want. He's not going to be perfect. So, But I do predict that everything's going to be friendly and very kosher with Israel for his whole presidency. There's no reason not to think that. So I just want to point that out. Sure would have been cool if his first post-election interview would have been with Andrew Anglin at the Daily Stormer, of course, or even something less extreme like someone from Breitbart or Daily Caller, but it had to be with an Israeli newspaper. That sucks. Oh well, you just gotta take it and move on with your life. So the next headline from the Jewish Daily Forward. Thousands sign Jewish letter pledging solidarity with Muslims and immigrants. And this is back from Friday the 11th. An open letter from American Jews pledging solidarity with immigrants and Muslims during the Donald Trump administration has attracted more than 21,000 signatures in the past 24 hours. The letter, drafted and posted online by the Jewish social justice group Bin the Ark, promises support to everyone who is threatened by the president-elect and his administration. I like this Bin the Ark. They've been one of the most prominent anti-Trump Jew groups, where like their whole basis for existing is to hate on Trump. And it's interesting how they got 21,000 signatures in the first 24 hours of this petition. Yeah, that's one of those demonstrations of hardcore Jewish networking. But I bet before long, alt-right folks, we're going to be posting petitions, and they'll be getting tens of thousands of signatures in one day, too. See, we're growing. So it's all good, you know, but those are impressive numbers. But it continues. To the millions of immigrants, Muslims, people of color, LGBT people, women, people with disabilities, and everyone who is threatened by the president-elect and his administration, we want you to know, we are with you, the letter begins. Please know that in the event of any attempt by our government to wrongfully abridge your safety, liberty, or dignity, we pledge to stand with you in solidarity. Oh, massive Jew speak right there, of course. You know, to everybody who's not white, we will stand with you and help you resist white people. That's basically what that paragraph said. The lead signatories to the letter are Stosh Kotler, Bin the Ark CEO, and Alex Soros, a Bin the Ark board member and a son of the billionaire philanthropist George Soros, who was featured in a Trump campaign ad last weekend that many saw as anti-Semitic. George Soros has been named and tagged and has been lifted up. He and his family have been also put at risk, said Kotler. The Soros family have made it their mission to create more inclusive and functional democracy. just the Jew speak here. It's almost too much to do. I'm almost at a loss for words to give you guys any commentary here. It's like, of course George Soros' son is associated with Bin the Ark. Of course! Like, no one could have predicted it. And it's just crazy when you're reading, like, from the Jewish Daily Forward. When they bring up Soros, it's going to be, like, in a positive way. And they're like, now even George Soros and his family have been put in the limelight. And they could be put at risk because all those evil white voters out there voted for Trump, who featured Soros in his final commercial. That final commercial was so great, featuring George Soros, Janet Yellen, and Lloyd Blankfein, like literally three of like the top 10 most diabolical Jews that we need to deal with. And now we have a president whose final commercial highlighted these three individuals. And I like how they say the Soros family has made it their mission to create a more inclusive and functional democracy. Yeah, functional democracy for who? For Jew? Yeah, probably for Jews. And inclusive, that's like diversity. It's a code word for chasing the last white person down, basically. So it continues. Kotler said that the massive response to the letter showed that the Jewish community is eager to resist. Folks want to have something to do. They want to feel like they can be part of keeping one another safe, be a part of fighting what could be a fascist reality in the United States, Kotler said. My sense is this is only the beginning of stronger Jewish engagement. Oh, I believe him. And now that they really have lost, they are the defeated group. These Jews are going to go more and more full retard. They're going to continue to never cease to amaze me. I think I know the Jewish mind pretty well, or there's not much I haven't seen, but I'm sure they are still going to amaze me in these upcoming months and years with whatever they do to oppose Trump. But I like how he talked about being part of fighting what could be a fascist reality. And I just think that's funny because there's a show on TRS, The War Room, and they always talk about the fast reality. So maybe the CEO of Ben the Arc listens to The War Room on TRS. Just saying, could be, you never know. Okay, moving on to the next article from Jewish Daily Forward. Will Steve Bannon be the anti-Semitic firebrand in Donald Trump's inner circle? Of course, the headline itself, it's a stupid question because Donald Trump is not anti-Semitic. Of course, he says a lot of things that come off as anti-Semitic, but that's just because Jews are behind all these organizations and entities that Donald Trump exposes. And, you know, Donald Trump's, giving us a few dog whistles, but it's dumb to think he's anti-Semitic, really, or if he might be slightly anti-Semitic, it's not enough to the point where it'll really affect his decision-making. I mean, his first post-election interview was with an Israeli newspaper, you know, but don't worry, the Jews have all these points covered. They discussed this from every single angle you can imagine. You go to Jewish Daily Forward, you have Jews saying, oh my God, you know, Steve Bannon's the biggest anti-Semite ever. You have other people saying, oh, he's not an anti-Semite. And then you have other people saying, like, you can be pro-Zionist and anti-Semitic at the same time, so therefore he's still an anti-Semite. And, you know, this reminds me of a phrase that Tan Stoffel from Age of Treason brought up a bunch. If you have two Jews, you have three arguments. And yes, we know that, you know, Jews aren't necessarily monolithic. They've got factions and they have disagreements. But the one thing that Jews are monolithic at is looking out for their own perceived interests. And that's what they're... this whole debate with Steve Bannon. And it's just interesting. But this article, read a few highlights. Steve Bannon, the right-wing media provocateur who turned Breitbart News into a haven for white supremacy, the so-called alt-right, and anti-Semitic tropes, is poised to play a key role in the incoming administration, setting off a firestorm of criticism from Jewish leaders and anti-hate groups. Of course, all the anti-hate groups are run by Jews and primarily for the defense of Jews. He continues, the reaction was quick and furious from Jews and anti-white, and anti-hate groups. The Anti-Defamation League, which stays out of partisan politics and vowed to seek to work with Trump after his election, denounced Bannon as hostile to American values. And this is what Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL posted on Twitter with a statement from the ADL. It is a sad day when a man who presided over the premier website of the alt-right, a loose-knit group of white nationalists and unabashed anti-Semites and racists, is slated to be a senior staff member in the People's House, said Jonathan Greenblatt. Like how I transitioned into my Jew voice right at the end there. It is a sad day when a man who presided over the premier website of the alt-right, a loose-knit group of white nationalists and unabashed anti-Semites and racists, is slated to be a senior staff member in the People's House. We call on President-elect Trump to appoint and nominate Americans committed to the well-being of all our country's people and who exemplify the values of pluralism and tolerance that makes our country great. So this is more hysterics from these kikes, and we love them for that. This is why they're going to get kicked out for the 110th time, because of their own behaviors and actions. Like, once again, Steve Bannon, he's not anti-Semite, you know, like, go read Breitbart, and then go read Daily Stormer, tell me which side is anti-Semitic, okay, thank you, I appreciate it. So here's some more kvetching tweets highlighted in the article. First one from Adam Schiff. Selection of Steve Bannon for senior White House role, unsurprising but alarming. His outright anti-Semitic and misogynistic views don't belong in the White House. John Weaver tweets, let's be clear here, media. Stop using alt-right. It is the racist, anti-Semitic, fascist, extreme right. Please be clear and stop normalizing. I actually thought that tweet was funny because I kind of agree with the guy in spirit. And, you know, we call ourselves alt-right, but it is a subversive move. It's a subversive tactic for sure, and which is great, which is why I love the alt-right. Because, yes, we are, like, white nationalists and misogynistic, even though that we're, like, my opinion on women is, like, part of my identity. But white nationalists, yes, that encompasses my identity. But it is funny that he points out, like, look, it's not the alt-right. They're all just, like, racist and stuff. It's like, yeah, you're actually right. It's kind of funny. And the article continues. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee, perhaps the leading face of the pro-Israel lobby, was reportedly upset about the appointment, but critics called on it to speak out publicly. And this tweet was from Jonathan Franks. Sources. AIPAC is privately apoplectic about Steve Bannon appointment. And this is from Rachel Schuker, who writes for Tablet Mag. This election has shown us who the Nazis are. With AIPAC silence about Bannon, we're finding out who the Judenrat is as well. These Jewish females are especially hysterical. Like Jane Eisner, I think that's her name, on Daily Forge. She's crazy. Bethany Mandel, Julia Yaffe, posting fake email screen caps from Andrew Anglin, emails that he never sent to her. Hanging out with good old Richard Spencer, who just got showed. Having a good old time together, you know, on election night. That's so cute, that picture Spencer tweeted with him and Julia. Yeah, so damn cute. That's like, that's what a true leader does. They hang out with Jews who are actively involved in creating, you know, trying to get those hate speech laws passed. So me and you can get locked up. But hey, at least they had a good time together on election night, right? I mean, am I right, guys? So next, a hysterical Jewish tweet from Jeffrey Sachs. If AIPAC can't speak up now, loudly and with unequivocal language against Bannon, it has no business claiming to care about U.S. Jews. Oh, that's just so funny to me, because once again, Bannon's not that hardcore. Besides offering a platform for racists and anti-Semites, Bannon has also been accused of anti-Semitism in his personal life. Now, first of all, I don't think Breitbart is a platform for me and you. Maybe their comment section are, but it's not like their articles. It's like, I'm not going to Breitbart and finding articles written by Kevin McDonald, Lee Rogers, and Andrew Anglin, and, you know, all these great writers that you can find. Like, no, you have like Milo and a bunch of people I've never heard of and don't care about because I don't read the website. So maybe the comment section is our platform, because, you know, according to a Jew, if you're not, you know, they call Twitter a platform for Nazis just because Twitter hasn't ban all of us instantaneously as soon as we tweet something. So I guess that, in a Jew's eyes, Twitter is also a platform for anti-Semitism. Even though Twitter was, there's some good guys today, you know, banning all those guys. But yeah, he's also been accused of anti-Semitism in his personal life because he doesn't want his kid going to a school full of Jews. You know, I hope this story's true. I mean, I hope Bannon felt this way. That's very promising if it's a true story. But you never know. Like David Duke has said many times this week, or in the last week, you never know what to believe in a divorce proceeding. His wife could have just been making that up. So you never know. But then again, who cares if he didn't want his kid going to a school with a bunch of Jews? Jews have all their schools. They don't have to go to school with the goys. They have all their Jew-only schools. So what's the big deal? But of course, Jews are just so full of hypocrisy, you know, good for me, but not for thee, right? That's basically how a Jew operates. And the last part of this article I found pretty interesting. And they wrote whole articles dedicated to what I'm about to read, but I'm only going to read this little bit. Newt Gingrich, a senior Trump supporter who is a candidate to be Secretary of State, shot back Sunday that Bannon could not be an anti-Semite because he worked in Hollywood and for Goldman Sachs. For some reason, these Daily Forward Jews, they get a kick out of that. It's like, he can't be anti-Semitic. He worked for Hollywood and Goldman Sachs. Well, what does that mean? How can that stop him from being anti-Semitic? Oh, because Goldman Sachs and Hollywood are totally Jewish operations. So anyone who's involved with that can't be anti-Jewish, right? That's kind of like, you know, if you could say this is anti-Semitic, what Newt Gingrich said too, which, you know, they probably did call him anti-Semitic. Who knows? So, moving on, this next article is probably my favorite article for this whole show, and we're still at Jewish Daily Forward. The headline reading, 9/11 conspiracy theorist Alex Jones gets thank you call from Donald Trump. During the 2016 campaign, Jones called Hillary Clinton, among other things, an abject psychopathic demon from hell. So true, and Alex Jones is right. He's right. What can you say? Even though he is the world's biggest cuck, I kind of like to hate him and hate to like him. It's like a love-hate relationship. Now, Jones says that Trump personally called to thank him over the weekend. In a video posted on his website, Jones recalled the conversation with Trump. He said, "Listen, Alex, I just talked to kings and queens of the world, world leaders, you name it. But I wanted to talk to you to thank your audience, and I'll be on in the next few weeks to thank them," Jones said. "I want to thank your viewers, thank your listeners for standing up for this republic. We know what you did early on throughout this campaign, standing up for what's right." So this is, according to Alex Jones, I think it's safe to assume that he's telling the truth, that Trump did actually call him. You know, he might have been embellishing a little bit, but the phone call did occur, and it's a reasonable to assume that it's true, because Donald Trump was on Alex Jones' show a year ago for a full half-hour interview. And I think this is absolutely amazing. You know, once again, you know, those of us, me and you, my fellow Nazis, you know, we're kind of more hardcore and red-pilled, so a lot of us do not like Alex Jones whatsoever, or respect him very much. You know, he always invokes the Nazis and Germanic death cults, and, you know, he's all about Democrats are the real racists, and, you know, he's really cucky. But the main thing that I get out of this is that InfoWars is an anti-narrative platform, you know, mostly hated by the Jewish establishment, and I know he's got some Jewish ties and sponsors, and, you know, there's Jews everywhere, but overall, big picture-wise, his platform has never been on the side of the establishment. He's always been an anti-establishment, anti-narrative kind of show, and that's just the way it is. So it's amazing that we now have, okay, we have Steve Bannon in the White House, the top position right next to Trump, who he had his alternative media website, and then we have Trump calling Alex Jones. Yeah, I saw on Daily Stormer just now talking about maybe having Alex Jones as the press secretary, which I think would be great and hilarious, actually. I would totally go for that. That would be so funny, man. But I just think it says a lot of good things for us to come, the fact that we now have a president that calls Alex Jones personally. You know, like, what the hell? That wasn't supposed to happen. Like, you know, I never thought Alex Jones was that hardcore, but damn, if now... now everything's different. Now that Trump won, we have to reevaluate everything. Like, well, you know, maybe, you know, Alex Jones could be useful to us. Now he's got Trump's ear. He's anti-narrative. He was on the Trump train for most of the campaign. So we don't have to love Alex Jones because we're super hardcore. But the fact that, you know, Trump's calling him, that's good. It just shows how anti-mainstream media Trump is. And it's going to look good for us in the future. You know, the fact that he talks to Jones leads me to guess that we don't have to worry about hate speech laws anymore with Trump. And, like, we're not going to have to worry about that, because even Jones, to a certain degree, was a target of, you know, hate speech laws himself. And he's soft compared to us. But I just think this is an amazing development, honestly. It really is nice. And it just like a few weeks before the election, Trump told a crowd at his rally, don't look at the news, read the internet. You know, so Trump's in tune with the internet, which is another great sign to me. Just like on his interview with 60 Minutes recently. God, that female interviewer pissed me off so bad. And of course, she's a Jewess. Just all the line of questioning has them on the defensive. They're never like positive questions like, so what's the first thing you're going to do? How does it feel? They're just like, wow, so were you like surprised that you even won even though you didn't stand a chance? But anyway, she was trying to tell him to not use Twitter. And he was like, well, you know, I mean, it's a brand new form of communication. So when you news people want to lie about things, I can get the real truth out through my Twitter. So we just, you know, thank God for Donald Trump. Thank God that he's so media savvy and internet savvy. And I think we have a beautiful 8 years ahead of us. Of course, you know, some of it's going to be gay. Not everything he does is going to be perfect. I forgot to mention this when I was covering the first article. I do not think that he's going to lead us into a war with Iran. And that's what some of his haters and black pillars want to say. Oh, he's so nice to Israel. He complains about Iran a lot. So we're going to go to war with Iran. Now look, those are his top two gay things about his campaign, is like his pro-Israel, anti-Iran. Fine. Well, I guess actually the DR3 stuff is worse than the Iran stuff. He went pretty hardcore with the DR3. But even if he's nice to Israel and says mean things about Iran, I refuse to believe that he's going to bring us to war with them. And hey, we'll see who's right or who's wrong as time goes by, but he's totally the anti-war candidate. It seems like the only people he really wants to go to war with is ISIS. But, you know, he's telling this Israeli newspaper that Israel has to deal with their own problems even with Palestine. So it doesn't follow that he's going to lead American soldiers into an actual war with Iran. So for people who are worried about that, I just kind of feel sorry for you because it's so obviously not the case. I mean, maybe if you think about it hard enough and stretch it far enough, you could see that. But I mean, I just think it's absurd, so I'm not worried about it. But speaking of wanting to fight ISIS, we have the next article, which is from the Daily Stormer, the world's most goal-oriented Republican website, with the headline reading, Trump and Putin have first phone call. Oh, that's a nice thought. Trump and Putin on the phone, talking to each other about things. I would love to hear that conversation. But and this is from the Mirror. It says, President-elect Donald Trump and Russian leader Vladimir Putin have vowed to tackle ISIS together after holding breakthrough talks on the telephone. Less than a week after the billionaire's election, the Kremlin said Putin called Trump yesterday to begin negotiations over how best to tackle terrorism. And so today, apparently, Putin's already on the ball. He's already bombing Aleppo, bombing ISIS in Aleppo. So, you know, hopefully we team up, USA and Russia, we can take care of ISIS really quick. You know, ISIS is one of those things, too, that kind of makes me want to put on my tinfoil. Like, it's one of these, you know, Emmanuel Goldstein, like, fake opposition things. But still, like, all right, I'll get behind Trump for it. As long as there's no troops on the ground, which he's, you know, made that all very clear. It's not neocon 2.0. And, you know, just because he appoints someone or has someone in his administration as a neocon, I don't think that means he's going to go back on all the anti-neocon stuff he said in his campaign just because he has one of these guys close to him. So don't get too black-pilled, guys, all right? We got to try to trust this guy's judgment because he won in spite of, you know, saying all the things he said over the campaign, and he still won. So, anyway, final article, guys, and this was from ABC News. Mexico weighs grim prospect of deportation wave under Trump. Oh, yeah, it's a grim prospect that you have to take your own people back. I mean, this article's ridiculous. Mexico is starting to seriously contemplate the possibility that millions of its migrants could be deported, and the picture is not pretty. Under proposals put forward by President-elect Donald Trump, Mexico could see millions of people streaming back with no jobs available. The country might lose some of the billions of dollars in remittances sent home annually, and some jobless deportees could swell the ranks of drug cartels, sparking more violence. Man, that's a triggering paragraph right there. So they're really dreading millions of people coming into their country when they don't have the jobs available. Aw, poor Mexico. And even worse, the country might lose some of the billions of dollars in remittances sent home annually. So they're mad that they're going to be losing all this money that they were leeching off of us, the American people. We Americans paying for these damn Mexicans, and I don't like it one bit. And this, of course, a lot of them are going to go back to the, or they're going to swell the ranks of the drug cartels because they're over here in the United States helping the cartels in one way or another, even if it just means they're selling a little weed on the side. But it's like Mexico is dreading that taking all the illegals back is going to hurt them the same way it's hurting us. It's like, yeah, duh, that's why we want to send them back, you freaking disgusting hypocrites. So it says, Governor Hector Astudillo, I think they would call Astudillo, but I'll call him Governor Hector Astudillo of the southern state of Guerrero, considered the possible scenario over the weekend. At least a million Guerrero residents live in the United States, many without proper documents, and the state is already reeling from drug gang violence and poverty. Of course, Guerrero is not in any condition to receive the million or more than 1 million migrants in the U.S., Astudillo said. On the contrary, they have been an important mainstay in supporting the economy of Guerrero. So these illegals are literally, we're propping up Mexico with these remittances. God, it's just so triggering. Finally, migrants sent home almost $25 billion in remittances to Mexico in 2015, and experts say most of that went to support the most basic needs of the poorest Mexicans. Well, of course, everything they do, everything these mud people do, everything these Jews do, it's so innocent. Oh, it's just to support the most basic needs of the most poorest Mexicans, Glam. Just like Hillary Clinton, she wants these gun control laws because toddlers hurt them. She's just worried about the toddlers, man. All of our enemies, they're just so worried about the most innocent, harmless, naive, beautiful, precious people on earth, aren't they? And of course, it screws over Whitey every time. Funny how that works out. Trump has suggested he might somehow seize the funds of those immigrants who are not deported to pay for a border wall. Oh, I can't wait to see what goes on with this wall, guys. It's going to be like, my life's going to revolve around the wall, and there's going to be news every day. It's going to be like a war zone. I remember when I was in Iraq, the first time I was in Iraq, we had this big pipeline that we had to go to every day because it was a major oil pipeline, and the insurgents, they would come out and they would bomb the pipeline. So then me and my group, we would escort these guys out there, and we would pull security while they fixed the busted pipeline. All right, there'd be oil everywhere, just pool, like an Olympic-sized pool, just oil everywhere. Crazy stuff. But I wonder if that's how the wall's going to be, or it's going to be a little bit more secure than that, because, you know, the cartels, you know, as long as they have the resources to resist it, they'll be pulling stunts at the wall, at the construction sites. You know, shit libs are going to be pulling stunts. You know, the SJWs. It's going to be really fun. I can't wait. So we're going to see how that works out, guys. So that wraps it up for this week. It's good to be back. Before I go, I got one donation this week, $30 from Lynchum Keller. You can find him on Twitter at Lynchum Keller. I appreciate it, bro. You are my greatest ally. And for anyone who wants to or feels inclined to, you can donate to me at paypal.me/jlemington. But anyway, guys, it's been a great week. Best damn current week ever of the best damn current year ever. And I'm sure we're going to have many more good days to come before this current year is up. And when this year ends, the next year is going to be the best current year ever. At the rate we're going, I think that's a safe call to make. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. And no matter what else you do in life, keep it white. Afraid of the darkest of light. With a touch, let go. These mistakes.
Past your ears, will you stand when the weight is upon you, or will you go to your knees?